page. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 21, text 7. Tataha samadhi yuktena kritya kriya kriya yogena kardamaha samprapede harim bhaktya prapanna varadashusham. Prapede harim bhaktya prapanna varadashusham. Okay. Tataha, then in that penance, samadhi yuktena, in trance, kriya yogena, by bhakti yoga worship, Kardamaha, the sage Kardama, Sampapede, served, Harim, the personality of Godhead, Bhaktya, in devotional service, Prapanna, to the surrendered souls, Varada, Ashusham, the bestower of all blessings. During that period of penance, the sage Kardama, by worship through devotional service and trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is the quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection. Purport. The significance of meditation is described here. Kardama Muni practiced mystic yoga meditation for 10,000 years just to please the personality of Godhead Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari. Therefore, whether one practices yoga or speculates and does research to find God, his efforts must be mixed with the process of devotion. Without devotion, nothing can be perfect. The target of perfection and realization is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that one who constantly engages in Krishna consciousness is the topmost yogi. The Personality of Godhead, Hari, also fulfills the desires of his surrendered devotee. One has to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Krishna, in order to achieve real success. Devotional service or engagement in Krishna consciousness is the direct method, and all other methods, although recommended, are indirect. In this age of Kali, the direct method is especially more feasible than the indirect, because people are short-living, their intelligence is poor, and they are poverty-stricken and embarrassed by so many miserable disturbances. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, has given the greatest boon. In this age, one simply has to chant the holy name of God to attain perfection in spiritual life. Om Agam Timirantasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindho vyayena cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tata Samadhi Uttena Kriya Yogena Karanamaha Samprapede Harivana Bhaktya Prapanna Vardashisham Karnamuni was told to generate children. Brahma is always, this is a concern of his in the creation of the universe, to get the universe populated. There's not a lot of populators to start things out. So he engages various sons, descendants, to beget children. So Karnamuni was ordered in that way, and therefore he undertook penance Sarasvatyam tapastebe sahasranam samadasha. For 10,000 years he underwent tapasya. That means it was serious business to beget good children for the service of the Lord. So he engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. Tapasya was not simply self-torture, but it was austerity directed at serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord. Samadhi Uttena, he performs that austerity in Krishna consciousness, in trance of devotional service. Kriya Yogena Kardana. Kriya Yoga, people, it's kind of a slogan, Kriya Yoga, an advertising thing. We do Kriya Yoga. Kriya, Kritya, Kriya, Karma, activity, but especially pious activity, purifying activity. And the ultimate purifying activity is devotional service. Therefore, the Kriya Yoga mentioned here is devotional service to the Lord. Samprapede harim bhaktya, and that's made explicit, that he served the personality of Godhead, bhaktya, with devotion. That's the point of the whole thing. And Prabhupada points out that without devotion, nothing is actually successful. Minus Krishna consciousness, nothing will be successful. Therefore, the karma, the gyan, they must have some admixture, Prabhupada said, of devotional service. Then the karma becomes karma yoga, and gyan becomes jnana yoga. Yoga means that there's some connection with Krishna. Otherwise, it's simply karma, or it's simply gyan, and there's not much benefit. But the same activities dedicated to the lotus feet of the Lord become actually purified. The yoga system in the sixth chapter, it's all for Krishna. The people are doing this sucho deshe patishtapya stira masana lapana natu shrutam nati nicham chayajana kushote. They're following the they don't even follow, that's the first thing. The rules of the yoga system are quite specific and strict. One has to go to a sacred place and to sit very firmly on the asana for yoga, not too high, not too low, with kusha grass and a deer skin and a soft cloth. Tatrai kagram manakritva, fixing the mind one pointedly. Yata chittendriya kriya, our mind, senses, control. Upavishyasane yunjyad yogamatma vishuddhe. And for the sake of pure self-purification, one performs yoga. Not for the sake of looking good, for self-purification. Samam kaya shiro vivam tari nacharam sthira. Keeping back, neck, head in erect and line. Steadily. Samprekshya nasikagram svam tishishchana vilokyam. Eyes half open, half closed, fixed on the tip of the nose. Not looking anywhere else. Prashanta ma digata vir brahmachari vite sita. Prashanta ma digata vir, free from fear, peaceful. And then the deal breaker, Brahmachari Vritayasthita. One has to be observed the principles of Brahmacharya. Manasanyamya, much chitta. With mental discipline, one has to think of Krishna. Yukta Sita Matpada. So it's made very explicit that yoga, according to the Bhagavad Gita, doesn't mean simply meditating on a candle or the sound of a waterfall. The mind is meant to be fixed on Krishna. Much chitta. Manasamyamya much chitta. Yukta sita bhakti. Making Krishna the ultimate goal of life. That's actually yoga. Otherwise, it's something else. The words samprapede harim mean that in various ways, Kardamuni satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, by his devotional service. Devotional service is also expressed by the word kriya yogini. Kardamuni not only meditated, but he also engaged in devotional service. To attain perfection in yoga practice or meditation, one must act in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. It's not simply inactivity, but there's hearing, there's chanting, there's remembering, there's serving. Remembering is meditation also, but who is to be remembered? One should remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only must one remember the Supreme Person, one must hear about the activities of the Lord and chant his glories. This information is in the authoritative scriptures. After engaging himself for 10,000 years in performing different types of devotional service, Kardamuni attained the perfection of meditation. But that is not possible in this age of Kali, wherein it is very difficult to live for as much as 100 years. Present moment, who will be successful in the rigid performance of the many yoga rules and regulations? Moreover, perfection is attained only by those who are surrendered souls. Where there is no mention of the Personality of Godhead, where is the surrender? And where there is no meditation upon the Personality of Godhead, where is the yoga practice? Unfortunately, people in this age, especially persons who are of a demonic nature, want to be cheated. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead sends great cheaters who mislead them in the name of yoga and render their lives useless and doomed. In the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is clearly stated in the 16th chapter, 17th verse, that rascals of self-made authority, being puffed up by illegally collected money, perform yoga without following the authoritative books. They are very proud of the money they have plundered from innocent persons who want it to be cheated. Yoga means Krishna consciousness, and especially not these cheating things. Cheating means that it's directed toward material benefit, both for the practitioner, some promises given, you'll get this, you'll get. I attended some seminar where a key speaker was the number one spokesman for some sort of transcendental meditation. And the benefits were like a laundry list of whatever you might want. Your relationships will improve, which means sex. If you're a student, your scholastic performance will improve. Your performance. performance on the job will improve, your sense of happiness will improve, and ultimately you become one with the universal force field, or whatever it is, his terminology, whatever it was in his terminology. So you get all these material benefits, and then at the end you become one with God. So, you know, what could be that? And all this just for a nominal fee and a few minutes a day.
Well, this is
cheating, pure and simple. And there's so many other forms of cheating in the name of yoga. And Prabhupada picks up a verse from the 16th chapter, classifying the yoga promoters outright as demons. Atma sampavita stabta dhanamana madanvita namya gesta. What is that? Dhamhena adhikudhika. Yajante namya gesta. Tambenadi Purvaka. Atma Sampavata. Puffed up. Atma Sampav. Very proud. Stubta, arrogant. And Dhana Mana Madanvita. Absorbed in the madness of pride in their wealth. I've got so much money, what is that? Imam prapsye manoratam idam astidam abhime vishyati punarthanam. I've got so much money now, and I've got another scheme for getting more money, another scheme for getting more money. This much is mine now, and I'll get more. This person's my enemy, I've smashed him, I'll smash the next guy too. Perfect, powerful, and happy. Who else is there like me? Iti again and all the time. This way people are bewildered. And yajante nama yajyaista. They perform some sacrifice. Nama yajya doesn't mean, as we're chanting Hare Krishna, it means not the sacrifice of the holy name, but sacrifice in name only. Sacrifice in name only. Some little ritual, like they, what is that? They do the little, but somebody's shtick is that you do an Agnihotra yajna at home every day. You have a little Agnihotra set. And you light it deep and you say a few prayers. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. You submit, of course, your innermost heart's desires. And that's your Agnihotra. You can feel real good that you did your yajna for the day. But they don't follow rules and regulations. The objective is usually something impersonal or material. So nama yajna is that. That's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Vidihinam ashishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam something virahitam yajnam tamasam prachakshitam. You know that verse? Mantrahinam, without proper mantras received through the sampradaya system. Vidihinam, without following the rules and regulations, just concocting somewhere, we do a yajna. Agnihotra yajna. It's such a thing that it's very difficult to perform. J.F. Stahl, with whom Prabhupada had that correspondence, was part of a group of scholars who organized an Agnihotra yajna. You know, they were interested in the ritual, and so they organized an actual Agnihotra yajna, which involved getting, you know, this kind of Brahmin, that kind of Brahmin, Brahmins from this community, Brahmins from that community, Brahmins who are meant to do this, Brahmins who are meant to do that, different kinds of Brahmins, because only those who have the right can do this or that. And then they had to build an altar which has this in this direction and that direction, made with bricks sanctified by this and that. So many different things they had to do. It took years for them to get it all together. And it was very difficult because there are no more Brahmins like this. This Brahmin, yeah, his son is there, but he's going to medical school. Hardly they could find the necessary ingredients, the necessary Brahmins. I guess the necessary funding was an issue. Maybe that university covered that. Pulling everybody together, you know. Everybody's doing their own work. Pulling all these people together at one place to do the thing. They finally did it, whatever it was that they did. And I think he commented that this would probably be the last such sacrifice to be performed. Because it was so difficult to pull together the people and the ingredients. And, you know, does anybody still remember how to do this and that? So I think the comment is there that this will probably be the last one. But vidihinam, without following any rules and regulations, they just said, we're doing a this yajna, we're doing a that yajna. Vidihinam, ashrishtanam, no prasadam distributed. That's, again, not very good. Mantrihinam, no proper mantras. Adakshinam, no proper reward for the priests or the other persons. We read about Maharaj Yudhisthira's yajna. Everybody was rewarded, the priests, the royal members of the royal family, the shudras, the dogs were fed, everybody was abundantly taken care of. But now you do a yajna and there's no prasadam in it. Mantrahinam adakshinam, no reward for the priests. And then what, vivahitam yajna? Shraddhaviritam yajna. No faith actually in the process. Or no faith in Krishna. They're just doing it. Shraddhaviritam yajna. Tamasam parichara. That's charity in the mode of ignorance. What verse is that actually? 17:13. Yeah. And then, for that matter, abhisantaya tupalam tam partam abhijayavayat ichyate bhadate shashta tam yajyam vidhivasa. To perform a yajna to get some material fruits, and that also for the sake of prestige. You know, Dr. such and such is sponsoring a yajna, da 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 da, in honor of da 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 da. And that's, again, in the mode of passion. Apalakam shibir yagyo vidhi dishto yajite yashtavyam eveti malaha samadhaya sasampita. Yajna in goodness means without consideration of getting some result. Apalakam shibir yagyo. And vidhi dishto yajite. Performing the, following the rules and regulations. Yashtavyam eveti. Because it's supposed to be done. Why are we doing this yajna? Because it's our duty to do this yajna. Not because I'm going to get something. I'm going to become God. My grades are going to go up. It's my duty. I'm Krishna's servant. And so my duty is to offer sacrifice to the Lord. But in this age, who will have the patience to do all of these things? Big arrangements, big sacrifices, spending so much money. Therefore, in the Kali Yuga, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. Harinam is good. Prabhupada said no expenditure. And easy and transcendentally powerful. And specifically directed toward Krishna. There's so many other religious performances where the goal is Krishna, but indirectly one is making progress. Slowly by slowly, little by slowly. But in this age, little by slowly, what will we accomplish? The yoga system itself, what the yogis would practice for 10,000 years, Karta Muni meditated for 10,000 years. Who has 10,000 years? And what are we going to get with our 15 minutes a day or our whatever it is that we're doing by an indirect method? We'll be dead before we achieve anything. So, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. Chant Hare Krishna, and in that way, serve Krishna. That's the recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The meditation without Krishna is useless. Yoga without Krishna is meaningless. Anything without Krishna is pointless. Okay, some questions, comments?
How can you know, like in Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, if one doesn't have any conception of the personality of Godhead?
Some conception must be there. Karma Yoga means there's some devotion. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method is Krishna Prema Pradayate, love for Krishna, surrender to Krishna, absorption in Krishna consciousness, madness, madly in ecstasy. That's another thing. But even to perform karma yoga, one must have some idea that God is there. I have to do these things for the satisfaction of God. But they may not have a very clear conception of God. So therefore slow. Otherwise, those who have personal conception, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, it's mentioned, he did this Rajasuya sacrifice, which is like an ocean of fruitive activities. Generally, this Rajasuya yajna is done by the kings, and it involves all sorts of, what you call pious religious rituals. And with, again, huge arrangements and expenditure and satisfying the Brahmins, satisfying these people, satisfying the ordinary citizens. Everybody's got to be satisfied. And then by doing this, you become eligible to rule the world and live for a long time and go to the heavenly planets. And all this stuff is there. And the kings used to do it. So Yudhisthira Maharaj also did it, but his only aim was to glorify Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He performed the same yajna, but that was his purpose. Not to go to the heavenly planets or get some material enjoyment, but to satisfy Krishna. So the same yajna performed by Yudhisthira Maharaj was pure devotional service. But generally as performed by the karma yogis, it's pious activity with some mixture of devotion. Some mixture of devotion, devotional service has to be there, otherwise it's useless. Something else? Yes?
What purpose is that these people want to be cheated?
They want to be cheated, yes. It's not like, dear sir, here's my $15, please cheat me. It's not exactly like that, but it's they're people who want to have their cake and eat it too. So they set up things in such a way that, in essence, they do want to be cheated. I want to be able to practice yoga and attain peace of mind and this and that, and I want to have sex, and I want to take LSD, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And I want to enjoy this material world. So they're setting them, they're practically defining it. Please cheat me. You know, like, please give me a college degree that I don't have to work for. There are these degree mill colleges, you know, you don't really do any work, but you get a degree. So practically it's cheating. You're not going to work for the degree. You're not really going to deserve the degree. And so we're not going to give you a degree that's really worth very much. But you give us some money and we'll give you a certificate. Yes, this man is educated. He has a degree. So it's cheating, really. Really, it's cheating. So a similar thing, that I want to be good-looking, peaceful, happy, completely fulfilled in my material desires for enjoyment, and I want to have a guru, and I want to be spiritual. Okay, you know, put your money on the line, do this, that, and the other thing. So they're looking for material gain. Material gain means being cheated. They're looking for material gain through a spiritual process. Or they want to put the little icing on their material cake by being spiritual. I have a sociological observation in this regard, that concerning the 1960s, you can see whether you do agree, because you're all 1960s experts. Maybe an exception.
I still have left.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it.
You missed it. Yeah. Lucky you. But in the 1960s, so many young people turned their back on materialism. They declared that, you know, what our fathers and mothers are doing, that's a gross, materialistic, money-grubbing way of life. To be satisfied, you know, with these little ticky-tacky houses and a car and a little doggy going, woof, woof. That kind of life and working like a slave simply for this superficial happiness, that's not for us. We reject all these things. And we're going to be spiritual. So, of course, their method of spirituality was through cannabis and LSD and, you know, that idea mixed up with a little Buddhism and Hinduism and, you know, some tofu or whatever. But, you know, their idea is that we're going to do something spiritual. Therefore, Tim Leary archly called his organization the League for Spiritual Discovery. You know, there was a spiritual idea there. We're going for a spiritual thing, and we're leaving home and turning our back on these material things. We'd rather live on the streets than be part of the system, blah, 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 blah. But it didn't work very well. It didn't work very well. They became wretched. They were living in the streets, wasting their lives. And after some time, it started to feel like living on the streets, wasting our lives. No good food, no comfort, no future. We're just, you know, taking this stuff again and again, and even that's not working. You know, this LSD trip was the same as the last one. We're not really getting enjoyment, or we're getting into other chemicals, which are really problematic. And what looked so bright spiritual future has become a really sort of degraded material present. Yeah, we were better off back at home with the car and the television set and the little doggy and then mom and dad. So now they were in a fix because they were, you know, they what would you say?
they cast their fortunes, or they dedicated their fortunes to this, to spiritual quest, and they rejected the material way of life. But now the spiritual quest was a failure. And for them to go creeping back to the material way of life would be so humiliating. And therefore, just at a suitable time, this yogi from India comes, advertising transcendental meditation. And what was that transcendental meditation? That you meditate 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, and you're spiritual. And so you could go back to home, back to your university, back to your job, and you could still be spiritual. Because you'd found something higher. You'd found that you could meditate for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, and merge with the all-pervading force field or whatever it was, and still hold a 9-to-5, and open up a savings account and a checking account and apply for a credit card and start all over again. So it was a kind of a cover. It served that sociologically valuable function. You could say it was good from a material point of view. It got the kids off the street and back into the workforce. It had no spiritual substance. But it provided a way to there really give up on the spiritual quest, go back to material life, and still say, no, I'm doing transcendental meditation. That's my little sociological offering of the day. And I don't know how much any sociologist would agree with it, or what you might think of it. But it seemed that way to me, that people who found a way to go back to material life and still wear a little cloak of spirituality, wrap themselves in a cloak of spirituality, burn a little incense, meditate for 15 minutes, maybe use sandalwood soap and whatever. Listen to some Indian music, maybe. And they were still spiritual. And then gradually they could give that up also and just go whole hog back into the thing, because by then the adjustment was made and the property lines were renegotiated and so on.
Face saver.
Face saver, exactly. Exactly. Not a life saver, but a face saver. But that doesn't get you back to God. And in fact, that's cheating yourself. Basically, you've thrown in the towel, you've given up, but you've cheated yourself by saying, yes, I'm still spiritual. And what is your spirituality? It's what your parents were after. You know, a better job, good school for the kids.
It was a real cardboard cookie.
Hmm?
Real
cardboard cookie.
It doesn't seem like history is going to repeat itself in that same way anytime soon. It seems like the majority of the young people out there who would have become hippies in the 60s are now still really there. It seems like the modern mentality is to, if I strive hard enough, then I can get a job and, you know, have some money. And despite all the unemployment and despite all of everything, I can go to college and then I can have the best video game system.
But Maya will find a way to smash all that. The kids may be thinking, yes. But actually, they're in many ways bitter because, you know, our parents ate up all the money and lived a freewheeling life. And now we have to work like dogs and pay for Social Security. Or we can't even find a job. increasingly, you know, kid goes to college, puts himself in debt, and can't get a decent job, or any job. So everything looks so good, but it doesn't look so good anymore. Or you get a job, and the job is hell, you know, prosaic and dull. And for a while they had it out, every kid could become go to school to become an ecologist. But there, you know, how many openings are there for ecologists? And that's the new spirituality, you know, I'm saving the ducks. But one way or another, Maya will make material life attractive and then kick you in the face. And an intelligent person kicked in the face will say, wait a second, you promised me this and kicked me in the face. Why am I going to do business with you? So such a fortunate person becomes in touch with Krishna consciousness and can take to. They get cheated a different way. In the 1960s, you know, free love, flower power and free love. So, you know, forget all the restrictions of the uptight materialistic society. You know, you live in hippie crash pads and the boys and girls together can do all that kind of stuff. And your parents would look on aghast. Now it's just been normalized. Pay $50,000 a year, go to college, and fornicate there.
Polished animal life.
Yeah. Otherwise, I thought you said college animal life, which is equally fitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm wondering, it seems that a lot of people who get into this, you know, bogus yoga practice, it seems that a lot of them are ready or becoming ready to hear. Whereas previously they wouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't know about previously, but certainly there's a good audience there, and they are interested. If we give our main thing is lacking is just us.
Right.
If we're out there, people are ready to give a good reception. Even those same people from the 1960s, you know, okay, they went spiritual and they blew it and or failed and crept back. But now they're, you know, how rewarding is it? Now they're 50, 60, 70, and, you know, it didn't work. Materially, they crept back to material life. That didn't work either. So they're still good candidates, especially if there's something practical. Hippie life wasn't practical. TM wasn't effective. It didn't really deliver. Especially in its later stages, the levitation and all that. My goodness. That didn't work. So, if we offer something practical and philosophically cogent, be people ready to listen. Market is good. It's not a problem. It's not that people have to be hippies or they can't take to Krishna consciousness. That sort of sense was there in the 1960s among the devotees that only hippies could take to Krishna consciousness. But that's proven itself false. Anyone can take to Krishna consciousness. So, but if we don't push it, then no one will take to Krishna consciousness. It needs some pushing. It doesn't just happen. It happens because devotees are working to make it happen. That's it. Doesn't apply to me. I follow all the rules and regulations. But it applies to me if there are no more questions.
You were speaking about unemployment. I heard recently on Siddhanta's New Memory State that Rameshwar Prabhu, and he was saying how he was speaking on Srila Prabhupada, and in the future you were talking about the unemployment. It's Srila Prabhupada said there will be so much unemployment that there will, you know, there just won't be a job to be had.
Yeah.
And that so many people will come to the farms and return to their own farms or return to the country to try and eke out some kind of a living.
Yeah, therefore, if we stuck with what Prabhupada told us, we'd be on the cutting edge now. Practical, if you can demonstrate practical rural life with spiritual satisfaction, then you really have something to show. Excuse me? Yeah, grow your own food, cows, bulls, simple living. People will be very much attracted.
There are a lot of people out there in the regular world who are pursuing an intentional community and an agrarian lifestyle. It's very, there's a trend of it right now.
It's been there for quite some time. But it starts to look more attractive when there's no jobs and when the cities are hellish. You know, you have to look up and down the street every 2 minutes to see, you know, whether someone's kidnapped your kid.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that this is the worst situation materially that has ever been economically, every single way. So, you know, it's got to be an incentive for people if we give them an option.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the very worst, but it's certainly bad enough.
No, it is. The 1929 crash, at least everything that I've read on that, that is what we've just had happen now is worse than that. So there's a greater percentage of unemployment than there was in 29 on and on.
In any case, bad enough so that an intelligent person looking at it would say, where's my future here? So we offer something substantial. Sumedhasa, intelligent people will pick it.
It's like my sister said, you know, looking at the situation out there, she said, well, actually, it looks like the Hare Krishnas really do have something.
Yeah.
They really do understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.